In the coming months, the British government is hoping to introduce unprecedented internet and communications surveillance laws through the Investigatory Powers Act. Nicknamed the Snoopers Charter, these set of powers have been described as beyond scary by the UN Privacy Chief, Joseph Kanatassi, and overly invasive by the EU courts. 21st century American and British citizens have been locked in a question without a clear answer. What matters more, security or rights? Furthermore, reports over the years have questioned whether extended state surveillance even provides the extra security it claims. Is there an ulterior motive? Theresa May's new suggested powers will allow the UK government to hack, monitor, and interfere with regular people's communications devices without a warrant or initial investigation, labelling everyday innocent people as suspects. State fears about safety are more and more getting in the way of personal privacy. The breakdown of privacy all started with this.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Shortly after the world watched the World Trade Center fall on September 11, 2001, President George Bush announced a war on terror.
Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated.
As people across the West were told of the dangers of Middle Eastern and Islamic extremism, a new threat to freedom was being constructed behind the scenes of the United States government, disguised as a solution to the problem of terror. On the 26th of October 2001, the Patriot Act was signed into law. The White House was granted the ability to utilize roving wiretaps, sneak and peek warrants, and the FBI was able to observe files and documents which could reveal the life patterns of US citizens. Bush's administration gave the act the full title of Uniting and Strengthening America by Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism Act of 2001. It is this word intercept which many took issue with several senators and congressmen suggesting it was merely an opportunistic act taking advantage of the wake 9/11 left. Others stated that it was in fact eroding the rights and constitution of America. Bush's war on terror and the affirmation of another enemy in the Middle East, Saddam Hussein, led to the invasion of Iraq in 2003. Fear of the enemy within became America and Britain's best justification for the use of tightened surveillance laws and intrusion, as well as increasing suspicion of their own citizens. When at war with terror itself, the exact definition of an enemy of the state becomes far easier to manipulate and change, which is exactly what America and Britain did.
We're also getting reports this morning of an explosion, a bomb explosion in Russell Square. Some eyewitnesses say it was in a litter bin, and some eyewitnesses also say that it blew the top off a bus. And Scotland Yard have now confirmed that there was an explosion in Russell Square.
The fears of terror were, to some, realised in the 7/7 bombings of 2005 in London, with over 50 dead and fingers being pointed at the government by scared members of the public. Far-right parties like the BNP used this event to stir further fear of this enemy within, fears like this being what governments rely on when justifying extreme measures of prevention or preemption. Little over 2 weeks after the London attack, and a day after another failed suicide bombing attack, a man was wrongly shot dead by Metropolitan Police officers. Jean Charles de Menezes was targeted after an anonymous officer said he appeared similar in CCTV images to one of the presumed attempted suicide bombers. Menezes was followed across London by plainclothes officers, who were certain they had the right man because of his, as the report reads, Mongolian eyes. Menezes was eventually cornered, off guard, and shot several times in the head after being dragged off a London Underground train service.
Now, the Metropolitan Police Commissioner, Sir Ian Blair, is tonight facing calls to resign after leaked documents revealed the series of tragic errors which ended in the shooting of an innocent man.
The day after the shooting, the Metropolitan Police confirmed that Menezes was in fact not carrying explosives, nor related in any way to the bombings. British anti-terror schemes and the hunt for the 7/7 perpetrators were seen to be fallible, even with the use of CCTV surveillance and other powers. Regular, innocent citizens became suspect, and the Mongolian eyes of a man was now grounds for his execution. By the mid-2000s, then, it was clear that even with eyes across the West, governments were not able to prevent all terrorist acts with ease. The true extent, however, of the West's technological surveillance was revealed in June 2013, when an employee of NSA contractor Booz Allen Hamilton revealed thousands of documents to the international press. The whistleblower, Edward Snowden, exposed that the NSA, in cooperation with GCHQ of Britain, CSEC of Canada, and ASD of Australia, had been creating programs to spy on the general public. It would be impossible to cover every facet of Snowden's leaks, but the most well-known and publicized one was PRISM.
Originally, we saw that focus very narrowly tailored as foreign intelligence gathered overseas. Now, increasingly, we see that it's happening domestically. And to do that, the NSA specifically targets the communications of everyone. It ingests them by default. It collects them in its system, and it filters them, and it analyzes them, and it measures them, and it stores them for periods of time. So while they may be intending to target someone associated with a foreign government or someone that they suspect of terrorism, they're collecting your communications to do so.
That voice was Snowden himself speaking in 2013 before the leaks were made public, placing himself in severe danger to do so. Prism allowed the NSA direct access to Americans' Google and Yahoo accounts, alongside large amounts of data collection from YouTube, Apple, and Facebook. It wasn't just domestic spying that Snowden exposed. Der Spiegel, one of the publications known to have worked with Snowden, has stated 122 world leaders at the time of recording are known to have been spied on, Angela Merkel being the most outspoken, comparing the NSA to the Soviet-sponsored Stasi of the 20th century, who spied on millions of East Germans, Merkel condemned spying on friends. Snowden claimed that while working at the NSA, the powers he was granted disturbed him, such as the ability to wiretap anyone, and the abuses of privacy and rights which were happening daily had very little effect on terror prevention. The year after Snowden, who sought asylum in Russia and continues to reside there, leaked the documents, the New America Foundation published a report regarding the number of attacks which had been stopped by mass surveillance. It found that of the 227 Al-Qaeda-affiliated people or groups that have been charged for terrorism acts since 9/11, less than 20 were affected by NSA surveillance, and not one single conviction of an attack threat was credited to the domestic mass spying of regular citizens. Despite all of this, some still condemn Snowden and other whistleblowers as traitors to the United States and the Western world. Only in January 2017, just days before his term gave way to that of Donald Trump, did Barack Obama commute the sentence of Chelsea Manning, previously known as Bradley Manning, allowing her to walk free after helping expose military conduct to WikiLeaks. Manning, like Snowden, was labeled a criminal for leaking classified information regarding the United States government's abuse in 2010. Manning was initially charged with 35 years in prison from 2013, but will be released within this year. Mixed public reactions, some claiming Manning should have served the full sentence, indicates that there are still a large number of people jumping to the defense of those in charge. Further papers released, however, display numerous plans by the NSA and GCHQ to infect millions of British and American computers with malware and fake Facebook servers designed to intercept communications. Aside from sounding like something from a dystopian science fiction novel, this plan is one of countless instances many still ignore in favor of loyalty to the US government or paranoia of the enemy within. Unintercepted incidents since 2014 have only served to make this debate between rights and security even more of an intense one. The Charlie Hebdo shooting in January 2015, the Bataclan attack of November 2015, Pulse nightclub in 2016. These are some of the attacks the West has seen in the last few years which have sparked further questions as to whether or not governments should be doing more to prevent them, and which have been used as justification for further action. This, of course, leads us to the present day. Even after the UK Draft Communications Data Bill, the original Snoopers Charter in 2013, was blocked by the Liberal Democrat Party, Theresa May announced shortly after her rise to the position of Home Secretary in 2015 that she vowed to pursue the Communications Data Bill. Her vow became a reality just months after she became Prime Minister, replacing David Cameron, when in November 2016 the Snoopers Charter quietly got voted through Parliament by 281 votes to 15. Despite revisions to the laws overseen by the House of Lords, they were passed in and still retain most of the extremely potent surveillance powers May originally put forward. These powers are not limited to, but include, an act forcing internet service providers to hold people's website histories for 1 year, allowing authorities to see internet connection records as part of targeted investigations without a warrant, giving the police and intelligence agencies like MI5 and GCHQ the ability to carry out equipment interference, like hacking, into computers to access data and open email without a warrant, and created a new criminal offence targeting any internet service provider which revealed that people's data had been requested. Not only this, but the only exemptions from these laws are the MPs themselves. The reaction to the Snoopers Charter from around the world has been startling. China, well known for its widespread internet censorship, applauded the UK government for this move, whereas the EU courts in December declared that mass general surveillance is indeed unlawful. Unfortunately, as of yet, it is unclear if this will affect the implementation of the Investigatory Powers Bill. We are left, then, in a situation where surveillance of the general public is increasing daily, often out of the eyes of the mainstream media, and, by extension, many of the people who are being spied on. The questions must be asked, though, is any of this necessary? Do we really feel safer with the knowledge that our private information and data can be intercepted so easily? Why do so many condemn those who have confronted governments on the issues of transparency? And is the Snoopers Charter the first step towards a far more sinister and controlling form of government? Ed Church, Expression FM News.